السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله النبي الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من تواضع لله رفعه الله، ومن تكبر وضعه الله، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Respected ulama, dear elders and brothers in Islam, sisters listening over the receivers, once again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given each one of us the opportunity and the great favor of congregating for this important action and amal and command of Jummah Salah. And the day of Jummah in the life of a mu'min and believer indeed is very significant, because it allows a person to reflect over his own condition, and it allows a person to reflect over the condition of the ummah, the condition of other Muslims and believers. And through this reflection, through introspection, through thinking, the process of improvement, the process of betterment, and the process of moving forward and progression takes place. So this day of Jumu'ah is a day of dua, it is a day of reflection, it is a day of gratitude, it is a day of zikrullah, it is a day when Muslims express their happiness and in the same time they express their remorse and regret in solitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of those actions and amal and good virtuous acts that we have been advised to do on this day of Jumu'ah. Regarding this reflection, when we look at the times that we are living in, and when we ponder and reflect over the era, we reflect over our own condition, we reflect over our own inner selves, and the developments that take place around the world on a daily basis, we find one generally common picture. And that common picture is something that everybody is well aware of. It is not something that needs to be elaborated, explained. On the one hand, we have many, many positive developments, alhamdulillah, on a daily basis. People enter the fold of Islam. A lot of good work, virtue takes place. But the general overwhelming condition of each and every individual, including myself, and the general ummah at large, is one which is concentrated with a lot of strife, a lot of anarchy. In community and social circles, there's a lot of jealousy, animosity, hatred, rancor, vying with each other, intolerance, spite, pride, and all of these vices and maladies that go with the human ego. On a global level also, we find there is a huge amount of killing, murder, intolerance, war, strife, anarchy, unwanted violence, uncalled for. All of these things take place on a regular basis, on a daily basis in the world that we live in. And ultimately, what does it lead to? It leads to people becoming frustrated. The poor become frustrated and despondent. Those who are victims and the affected and afflicted parties lose hope. They become completely despondent. And it leads to a lot of other social ills and wrongs. Crime escalates. And all other social ills creep into the community, into the society, into countries, and into the surroundings where people reside due to these factors that are affecting people directly or indirectly. And ultimately, we have a complete picture of total chaos, confusion, disharmony, etc., etc. Of course, this is not something that any one individual desires, any one individual hopes for, or wishes for anyone else, or should wish for anyone else. But it is the reality and the order of the day. And a lot of this is related to our own lack of action, our own deliberate unwillingness, our own lack of commitment on an individual basis, on a community basis, and of course this then further encapsulates the entire global picture. As an ummah, we have become very, very weak and incapacitated to bring about any form of effective change and harmony in our lives and in our communities. So, what is the way forward, and how should an individual look at these circumstances and situations individually, and how should we look at it from a global perspective? The hadith and the ayah that was recited initially, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes reference to each and every individual who proclaims the kalima la ilaha illallah and refers to us as slaves and servants, wa ibadur rahman. Allah says we are all ibad. Our composition, our status, our title is ibad. We are slaves, we are servants. And who are we slaves and servants of? Ar-Rahman, the one who is all-powerful, merciful, potent, and the one who is in full authority. And what is the kayfiyat, what is the condition, what is the inner state of the ibadur Rahman? Alladhina yamshuna ala al-ardi hawna. One very distinct characteristic of a person who is a slave, who is a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that he is a person who treads this earth, who walks upon the surface of this earth in a condition of hawn. What is hawn? Hawn is a condition and an inner state that a person does not believe himself to be worthy of anything, does not believe himself to be eligible, does not regard himself to be deserving, does not regard himself to be anyone of any kind. A situation of nothingness, a condition of self-abasement, annihilation. And this type of condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to is the kayfiyat and the condition of a true believer, of a true abd and a true slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Going on to the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further elaborates and explains what is a true slave. What is true slavery? مَن تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. That a person who wants to imbibe the true quality of humanity, of humanness in him, a person who wants to bring true goodness into himself, then there is this one very key quality, this key good and act, and that is the act of humility and humbleness. مَن تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ. That person who adopts this, he develops it, he learns it, he brings it, he entrenches it into his life. It becomes part of his psyche, his thinking, his way, his words, his mannerism, his transacting, his interaction. Everything becomes filled and imbued with tawazu, with humility. Then that person now, he has achieved something very, very significant. He is a person who is a true achiever. Today we are all in pursuit of achievement. We are all in pursuit of progressing our lives, enhancing our lives, developing our lives, bettering our lives. So the condition and the kayfiyat of achievement is being explained to us in this hadith. مَن تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ. That what is achievement? When can a person regard himself to have achieved something? When a person has annihilated himself. When a person has developed this condition of unworthiness. When this person has truly reduced himself to nothingness. And it's very important for us to make the distinction between saying one is unworthy, where a person expresses unworthiness, nothingness. I am an ordinary man. I am a nobody. I am a simple person. I am not anything great or good. There is no virtue and significance in me. That is the verbal expression of tawazu and humility in a man's life. However, that is not tawazu. That can be part, it can support the concept of tawazu, when a person gives expression to it verbally. However, true tawazu, true humility, the true condition of regarding oneself to be unworthy is when a person believes this and regards himself to be truly nothing. When a person imbues it, imbibes it, and lives that condition, then we would say that this person has achieved the condition of tawazu. And why are we discussing this condition of tawazu? In the introduction, we had brought about the conditions that are prevailing in the world. And we said we know, we can reflect upon our own individual condition. Now how are these, how is the condition of the world, the era, the times that we are living in, and the concept of humility related? It is very related and it is very relevant. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has prescribed it as the cure and the prescription and the quality that will alleviate and will eliminate all forms of strife, disputes and rancor in the heart of a person. Because once a person adopts this type of approach in life, when he truly regards everyone else to be superior to him, better than him, greater than him, more worthy than him, and everything else, then of course the scope of dispute, the scope for this person having animosity for another person, the scope for this person to have rancor, hatred, jealousy, and to vie with another person in a worldly material thing or in any type of eligibility, then that is very, very limited. In fact, it is completely eliminated. It's annihilated. Because the person has annihilated that one from himself. So when this quality is brought into the life of a believer, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam says, رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ. That person, that individual, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has not lowered himself, he has not reduced himself, he has not annihilated himself for people, for the title of humility, for people to regard him as humble, but he has done it for Allah. If he does it for the outward way of displaying humility, then of course to a limited degree he will have success. People will regard him as humble, people will regard him as a person who displays this pious quality of humility, etc. But in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be limited to that recognition. However, when he does it for Allah, and there is a difference when a person expresses humility and has humility for people for the sake of the title of humility, and when a person has humility for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a difference and a distinction between the two. Now, when a person does it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake solely and only, then rafa'ahu Allah, then the process of elevation, the process of elevation is automatic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the giver of power, who is the giver of izzat, who is the giver of respect, who is the possessor of all these qualities, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala now elevates that person without his wanting it, without his desiring it, without him even knowing it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates him automatically in the eyes of the people, in the eyes of the creation. Rafa'ahu Allah. And on the other hand, the direct, diametric opposite of tawazu, of humility, man takabbara, the person who seeks popularity, he develops or he imbibes this trait, this evil quality of pride. He begins to consider these things to be the way that he will achieve popularity, he will achieve fame, he will achieve goodness in the eyes of people, he will achieve the heights of, or he will achieve some heights through this, then that person, man takabbara, wada'ahu Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will debase him, Allah will lower him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will drop him. So therefore we find that these two aspects cannot coexist. A person cannot have humility in him and at the same time have pride in him. A person cannot have pride, he cannot be proud, haughty and arrogant and at the same time have humility in him. These two cannot coexist. So we find that in the eradication of this very deadly disease of pride, which we hear of time and time again, that a person who has an atom of pride in his heart will never enter Jannah. To eradicate this, a person has to develop humility. A person has to learn humility. A person has to do everything in his capacity to try and imbibe, learn and develop humility in his life. And the evidence that humility to a large extent does not exist in my life and in our lives as a community and as our lives as an ummah is the level and the degree of strife, of anarchy, of disputes, of petty, trivial problems that we are facing in every strata of society. Be it our marriages, be it our family ties, be it our economic and be it our our transactions, our business transactions, be it our social living, be it on every level, community, social, global level, what we find is there is a general trend of intolerance, there is a general trend of expression of anger, there is a general trend of rage being expressed. And this is the very antithesis of humility. So my dear respected elders and brothers, the quality of humility is essential. It is integral. It is imperative. It is something that a mu'min cannot ignore and he cannot do without. Of course, when we speak about a concept and when we speak about something, then we always turn to the models, the role models of those who had imbibed this to its highest level. And we find no better role model and no better example than our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. My dear friends, when we open the kitabs of Shama'il, book of Shama'il al-Tirmizi, look at the characteristics of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the manner he ate, the manner he spoke, the manner he slept, the manner he walked. Each and every mannerism and characteristic of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was an epitome of humility. It was an epitome of humility. And that humility was then passed over. The color of that humility was passed over to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, who sat in the close companionship of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. When we look at the du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one good window and way for us to understand the characteristics, the feelings, the ways, the thoughts of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my dear friends, remember this, is to study the du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Munajat-e Maqbool, available in English, in Urdu, in Arabic. Pick up this kitab, short, concise kitab, and delve over the du'as, ponder over the du'as, the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will find treasures and treasures and treasures, and we will never be able to explain the satisfaction that we enjoy from this. Even there is also another book of du'as called Al-Hizb al-A'zam. Also another very prolific and beautiful du'a which contains the salient du'as of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So one way of understanding Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam's feelings, his emotions, and his characteristics is to look into the du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the occasion of the conquest of Makkah, just to give ourselves an idea, we find Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam when he went to Taif, then that was a very difficult period for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can regard it as a very low occasion in his life when there was complete rejection from the people of Taif. And when Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam left there, we know in what state he left, bleeding, crying. He turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the command was sent that the mountains could be brought together to crush these people. But look at the humility of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He makes a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma ashku ilayka du'fa quwwati. Oh Allah, I attribute this weakness, this inability to myself. Wa qillata hilati. And the lack of my resources. Wa hawani ala nas. And my weakness with interacting with the people. Look at the introduction. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is introducing himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You sent me on this great mission. You sent me on this important task and assignment. And unfortunately, oh Allah, my weakness, my inability, my lack of resources, my lack of everything, I was unable to fulfill it. And yet we know the reality was, there was no lack on the part of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever. It was rather the deficiency and the weakness of those people not to accept it. On the other hand, we find on the occasion of the conquest of Makkatul Mukarramah, the pinnacle of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the battles had been fought, great years of hardship had been undergone, and now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on the verge of entering Makkatul Mukarramah. And how does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam introduce himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We would have thought that there would have been an expression of celebration and elation. But look at the kayfiyat of humility in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma innaka tasma'u kalami wa tara makani. Further down in the dua, ana al-ba'is al-faqir al-mustaghith al-mustajir al-wajil al-mushfiq al-mubtahil ibtihal al-mudhib al-dhalil. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Oh Allah, I am someone who is afflicted. Mushfiq, al-muqir. I am one who is confessing with my weaknesses and my sins. Al-mu'tarif bi-dhunubi. I am acknowledging everything. There is no achievement on my part. I am not attributing any form of achievement to me. This bounty of the conquest of Makkah and everything that has happened before this and will happen after this, oh Allah, it is your favor, it is your gift, it is your want that all of this has happened." Al-mu'tarifu bi-dhambi. Even at this stage, being ma'asum and sinless, Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is being i'tiraf and confession of his wrongs. Now this is when a person is the personification of humility. When humility is running in his bloodstream, then he cannot find any opportunity to attribute any worth to himself. Of course, perhaps it's not possible for ordinary mortals like us to gain any form of humility of that level and that degree. But of course we have the model, we have the example, and we have the du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to try and aspire for a fraction of it. When we look into the life of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, these examples are there to inspire us. We can aspire to some degree to imbibe this in us. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, what a great personality. He has the water bag, the water satchel over his shoulder, and he's giving people water in Medina. He's going throughout Medina so that nobody is deprived of water. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, on one occasion, a water trough or a storm water pipe had been removed by him because it was causing a flood in Madinatul Munawwara in a masjid. He removes it. And later on, Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, comes to him and he says, "Oh Umar, you have removed that storm water pipe of mine. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given me permission to install it there." When Umar radiallahu ta'ala hears this, immediately he goes and he instructs Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, "Oh Abbas, you now get onto my back." He goes, he bends down, "Get onto my back and restore that pipe where it was." Look at the level of humility. Today, we hear this very often. "I don't want anybody to tramp on my toes." We don't want people to tramp our toes, my dear friends. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala made people stand on their backs. And like that, the example of Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam is with Nabi sallallahu alayhi sallam. And he tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi sallam, "There is Abu Zar coming." "Oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi sallam, this is Abu Zar." Nabi sallallahu alayhi sallam asks him, "How do you know who is Abu Zar? Do you know the people of Medina?" Jibreel alayhi salam tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi sallam, "He is more well known and popular in the people of the heavens than on earth." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, How did he achieve this rank and this popularity in the heavens? Jibreel alayhi salam says, two qualities. لِصِغْرِهِ فِي نَفْسِهِ وَكَسْرَتِ قِرَاءَتِهِ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَحَدٍ. Two things. One is he always regards himself to be unworthy. Someone very small, someone very insignificant, and never considered himself to be anyone. And لِكَسْرَةِ قِرَاتِ قُلْ وَاللَّهُ وَحَدْ. And because he was a sahabi who used to read قُلْ وَاللَّهُ وَحَدْ very, very often. Lots of virtues of قُلْ وَاللَّهُ أَحَدْ. And there is a mayyat and a janazah here also. After the bayan, the khutbah, we should read three times قُلْ وَاللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Convey the sawab and convey the sawab to all the marhumin, inshallah ta'ala. But this surah has its own discussion. The greatness of the surah, the benefits of the surah, it can be regarded as the crown jewel of the Quran Sharif. In some ahadith it is mentioned that Sahaba used to read this surah, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَحَدْ, in almost every rakat of salah of this. So much of love and muhabbat they had for the surah. Nonetheless, the first quality was that, لِصِغْرِهِ فِي نَفْسِهِ. This صِغْرِ فِي نَفْسِهِ, considering oneself small and low and nothing, took him right up and elevated him to the people of the heavens. So, this quality of humility has many, many dimensions to it, but it is something that we need to learn. We need to imbibe. We need to bring into our lives truly, really, and entirely, completely. How does a person bring humility? How does a person bring humility? One is that a person should make abundant shukr. Abundant shukr. Outwardly, these two qualities may not correlate or they may not have any sort of direct correlation. But when a person has true shukr in his life, not just saying shukr, not saying I'm thankful, I'm grateful, but when a person regards himself to be undeserving of any ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is true shukr. When we regard ourselves to be unworthy of any ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if a person has half a slice of bread, he does not regard himself to be deserving of that. That is true shukr. Then that will bring about humility in a person. The other way to imbibe humility in our lives is to look at the du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma ahini miskina, wa amitni miskina, wa ahshurni fi zumratil masakin. Famous du'a of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, let me live with those who are humble. The literal meaning of miskeen is poor and needy. But in this context, it means humility. Because when a person does not regard himself to be worthy of anything, then the quality of humility comes into him. Oh Allah, let me live with the poor, with the humble. Oh Allah, let me die with the poor and the humble. Oh Allah, let me be raised on the day of Qiyamah with the poor and the humble. Allahumma ja'alni fi aini saghira. Oh Allah, let me develop this quality of seeing myself as very small and insignificant in myself. Wa fi ayuni nasi kabira. And let me be elevated in the eyes of the people. In that way, my dear friends, many other du'as where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed his humility and taught us how to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for humility. And the third quality or the third act that we could do among many that we could, but simple practical things, is for us to involve ourselves in certain menial things. We involve ourselves in menial things. Our akabir and elder ulama, my dear friends, as great as they were, as high as they were, they would be seen straightening the shoes of the people in the khanka outside the masjid. They would be seen going and buying groceries for the elderly ladies of the town. They would go into the marketplace. They would do very basic and menial things. Why? Because this is the ego of a man and a human being. It doesn't allow him to do these little things. It is not of my nature. It is not of me to go and do these little small things. So what is that? That means that we are considering ourselves to be worthy. We are regarding ourselves to be something and someone. And in that way we cannot achieve humility. So with these few guidelines, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear friends, that if we want to rid our community, our society, our families, ourselves, and the entire world of all the strife and disputes and rancor and rage that we are experiencing at the moment, then each and every one of us needs to start with ourselves, do an assessment of humility and tawazu in our life, and begin to develop humility and tawazu in its real sense. And of course, for everything for a person to achieve, he has to go to the right source of getting it. And we will get it where? By those people who have developed humility in their lives. Those people who have brought themselves to a level where humility is the outstanding feature of their lives. And in that way, inshallah ta'ala, it will be easy for us to inculcate humility. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq wa akhiru da'wan and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. After the remaining salat, there will be a janazah salat. All are requested to attend and convey isa alayhi salam.